Praise the Lord, he still speaks. Amen? What would we be like if it wasn't for the Word of God? Where would we be if it weren't for the Word of God? What would we be doing if it weren't for the Word of God? For Jesus Christ, who came to this world as a little babe, he came to serve those who were in need. He came to die for us who were sinners. And praise the Lord, today he stands at the right hand of the Father. Amen? And he promises to intercede for each one of us. He promises to help in our moment of need. He promises to be right beside us all the way to the very end. Are those incredible promises, brothers and sisters? That's an incredible God that we serve. And today's message, as you note in your bulletins and also on our screen, greatness is service. And it's actually a title that's found in some of your Bibles, in the New King James Version of the Bible. We've been listening to the news, and we see all the things that are happening in different segments of our society, government, entertainment, business, education. And we all say, wow, our world is in a big mess. In a big mess. But praise God, he can fix those messes. Amen? He can fix those messes. And yes, today is the first Sabbath of the month of December already. Wow. It just feels like we just started the year just not too long ago, right? And we're already coming to the end here. And some of us are still reflecting on the beautiful time we spent with family during Thanksgiving. Sharing memories, sharing again time together. Today we are doing something for second service for our community service. It's Community Service Sabbath. And I just want to take a note. I want to share this information with First Service, that our community services continues to reach within the church and to reach without these walls. Amen? It is a group of wonderful, dedicated Christians who love the Lord and that want to serve. How many of our community services members are here this morning? Can I see your hands? Those who attend. We have two right over here. Faithful ones that come every month to share in the activities of this beautiful department of our church. And they serve individuals, they serve families, they serve those in our community who are in need. Sometimes that means Camp Pendleton. Sometimes that means Marietta Hospital. Sometimes that means someone within our own community, congregation, that they know about. And I know that every time they hear of a name or of someone who needs help, they come together and they put their heads together and they come up with incredible solutions to many of these problems that we all face in the world that we live in. So I am encouraged to know that we have such a group of wonderful church members who understand what Christianity is all about. What is it all about, brothers and sisters? Christianity is all about serving. And I looked at the word servant, and I looked at the word slave in the Bible. And it appears several times. I do have my pointer. I just have to look for it. Here it is. Before we go there, there's a beautiful passage in Steps to Christ that says this: look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all his creatures. Can we say amen to that? We can say amen to that. You and I were made for a purpose. You and I are here not by accident. You and I are here to serve God above all, but also to serve one another. And praise God that he has made us all different, yes? Given us a different set of skills, given us different set of strengths so that we can share with one another, that we can encourage one another. And as I was looking at this word servant and slave in the Bible, I noticed it appears in some versions, it's translated into the English, 480 times, in other versions, up to 500 times. And so I was curious, and I said, well, what do these words look like in the original languages? What kind of words are being used here? And hopefully you can see this. It's probably too small, but this is the word ama, which means handmaid, maidservant, maid, bondwoman, bondmaids. Na'ar, which is a word that is usually found in the context of a young man, a servant, a child, a lad, a young children. The more common word that appears in the Hebrew Bible is the word eved, servant, or avad, to serve, the noun. And then we have derivatives of the same word, avuda, and then you have sakir, and shifcha, and sharat, and they all have the same idea of a hired servant, or a hired man, a handmaid, a maid, a minister, a servant, someone who is helping others. Yes? Basically, that's what it is. It's someone who helps someone else. It is there not to look out for himself, but is there to serve others. In the New Testament, you have something similar, and some of you are going to like this. This first word here, diakonos. What's the English word for diakonos? Deacon. And the word for deacon means servant in the Greek. This other word, doulos, means servant, bond, bond man. And so you have then these other words, therapon, servant, mistios, mistotos, and on, and they all have to do with this concept of servanthood, and in some case, even the word slave. Now, if I asked you today, how many of you want to be a professional servant? How many of you want to be a slave? Would I see all hands go up? These are words that when we listen to them, we just go like, whoa, not me, Pastor. And with reason. Because even though you can put it in a positive context where it says, hey, this is somebody who is dedicated. This is somebody who works hard. This is someone who does what needs to be done. Yes? Who's loyal. Who will go the extra mile. It's also connected with the idea of no pay. No recognition. no say as to, is this a good idea? Yes? And so we think of it and we go like, no, this is not something I want to be. But brothers and sisters, if I understand Scripture correctly, if I understand what God is calling His people in these last days to be like, God is calling us all to be servants, to be slaves of the God Almighty. Amen? And He's calling us to do even something that might feel uncomfortable for us, and that is to serve one another. And I believe the words that Jesus shared with His disciples, whoever wants to be great, let him be a slave. Whoever wants to be first, let him be a servant. I think it's the other way around. Whoever wants to be great, let him be a servant. And whoever wants to be first, let him be a slave. It made the disciples go like, what? I don't think so, Jesus. Not me. And we want to look at the context of this Jesus saying. What was Jesus trying to tell us today? And it's a message that I've been thinking about and pondering about, because as we look today, those who are in top positions, those who are great in the eyes of this world, they get away with a lot of things, don't they? Or they have been getting away with a lot of things. Lately, it's been changing a lot. But Jesus says, let it not be like that with you. So before we continue, I want to just go with you again to Scriptures, chapter 20. And I want to start with the first part of verse 1 there in Matthew chapter 20, because I think it has a lesson also in relation to what God is calling His people in the 21st century, just like He called His disciples in the first century to be like. And I believe it has a message that will hopefully have the same impact it had with me and with others that I have shared this with, okay? So let's go to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to start with verse 1, which says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a, what, brothers and sisters? Landowner. Who went out early in the morning to hire what? Laborers for his vineyard. And we know who the landowner in this parable is, right? Who is the landowner, brothers and sisters? Jesus, God Himself is the landowner. And His vineyard, who is His vineyard? We are, yes? We are His vineyard. And is God constantly taking care of us? He's constantly taking care of us. He's watching over us, and He wants the best, and He's going to do whatever it takes to make sure His people are okay. Amen? Even if we go through trials, even if we go through difficulties, God is watching over us. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, does anybody know what a denarius is? Denarius is basically a day wages. That's why denarius, okay? So he agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day. I'm going to give you a 1 day's wages. He sent them into his vineyard, and they started to work hard. Now, let me tell you something. In those days, it was better to be a servant and a slave than to be a hired worker. You see, at the end of the day, the servant and slave, they had a place to sleep. They had food to eat. They had clothes that was going to be provided for them. The hired worker, if he didn't work that day, he didn't what? He did not eat. He had no one to take care of him but himself. And many of us have seen that, even here in Fallbrook especially. If you go to the gas station by Highway 76, yes, you see all these men out there. And they're looking and waiting and hoping someone will say, hey, come. Come work in my avocado field, yes? Or come help me out with construction or whatever the task is. And they're waiting. And they know that if that day nobody picks them up, there's no income that day. So these hirelings were there on the side of the street waiting. And the landowner comes, says, come, I've got work for you in my vineyard. And they accepted, they agreed for one day's wages to come and help. And it says in verse 3, he went out about the third hour. The first hour is 6 a.m. The third hour is what time? 9 a.m. Very good. So at 9 a.m. he goes out and he sees others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard and whatever is right, I will give you. Notice that he doesn't tell them that he's going to give him such and such a wage. He just says, whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Verse 5, again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And we know that the sixth hour then is what? Noon. And the ninth hour is 3 p.m. And by 6 p.m., job was done or the sun had gone down and no longer were they able to work. So he invites all these men, women, to come and help him in his vineyard. And he told them the same thing, whatever is right, I will give you. And verse 6 tells us, in about the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And what did they respond? They said to him, because no one hired us. No one has called us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So just an hour before, work was done. He invites these men, these women, to come and join in the labor. Verse 8 tells us, so when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. Starts off with the one who had just worked 1 hour. And when those came who were hired, about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each what? A denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? Praise God, he treats us all the same. Amen? Those of us who maybe were born in the church and have been working from a long time, and for those of us who might have just started to come to church not too long ago, how does God repay us, brothers and sisters? The same way. He bestows upon us the same blessings. Amen? He promises us eternal life. Amen? Is there anything more than God could give us? Or has he given us all enough for our daily needs? He has. That's the kind of God we serve. And he still continues to invite others. Amen? He continues to call them to join in working in his vineyard. But something that caught my attention as I was reading this is verse 16. So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. How many of you would have, you know, just 1 hour away said, okay, I'm going to go and work for this guy. I don't know what he's going to ask me to do. There's only 1 hour. How many of you would have said, yes, tell me what to do and I'm going to do my best for 1 hour? They probably would have said, man, what is he going to give me? He's just going to basically tell me, do all the heavy lifting here at the end, and then, sorry, it was just an hour. But praise God, he calls us all at different moments and times in our life. Yes? And our decision is to, or our, what we need to do is we need to say yes whenever God is calling us. We need to say yes, brothers and sisters. The context in which our theme of servanthood, being a slave, as Jesus shared with his disciples, is found in this particular context here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, where moms, how many moms here today? Moms, you guys always want the best for your children, don't you? You want them to prosper. You want them to do well. You want them to shine bright. And here was a mom who was just wanting that. She wanted her two sons to have a good position in Jesus' kingdom. He had been talking about this wonderful kingdom, and she thought, wow, my son John, my son James, if they are, you know, part of Jesus' kingdom, they're going to be able to do so much good. They've sacrificed so much. They left the boat. They left their career as fishermen. They left their town. They've done so much already. Of course, you know, they should deserve to be next to Jesus, one on the right, one on the left. And so mom comes and tells Jesus, kneels before him. He asks her, what is it that I can do for you? She asks, and Jesus answered, you do not know what you ask. And why had Jesus said, do you not know what you ask? In this chapter, verses 17 through 19, Jesus for the third time tells his disciples, I am about to die. I am about to suffer. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from above. But Jesus asked the question, are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. How many of us like first places? All of us. How many of us like high positions? How many of us like a title or so? Yes? It's in us, human nature, to have position, to have influence, to have others serve us. But not so in God's kingdom. Jesus came to this earth to do what, brothers and sisters? He came to serve and not to be served. Does that mean that Christ's followers are to serve and not to be served? I believe that is what Christ is calling his church in these times in which we're living in. Not to be like the Gentiles. Not to be like the world. He says it very clearly there in verse 24, after the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever wants to be first, let him be your slave. And that got me thinking, brothers and sisters. Got me thinking. I have the title of pastor. And in this church, they've given me the title of senior pastor. Whoa! That's a big position. That only means I have even a greater responsibility of serving you, my congregation. There are those who are called conference presidents, secretaries, treasurers, union presidents, division, and all the way up to the GC. If we follow what Jesus is saying here, that only means that our territory of service has just gotten bigger. Amen? That's what it means. And we see it in the natural world. I see this with parents, especially when their newborn has just come into the world. Two in the morning, three in the morning, they're up. What are we going to do now? What is it that you want from me? You're hungry? Okay, let's feed him. No, you want to be cleaned? Okay, let's clean you up. You want to be hugged? Okay, let's hug you. Wow. That doesn't only happen one time, two times. Does it stop at four? Does it stop at, okay, let's stop it at 12. Do parents continue to serve their children even when they are adults? They continue to. It doesn't stop. Even when they're 20s, yes. Now they have to drive them here. Where do you want to go now? Okay, I'll take you there. Okay, well, what kind of clothes do you want? Wow, that's expensive, but okay, here you go. What kind of shoes? And it continues, brothers and sisters. And then come the grandchildren. Wow. The territory of service just gets what? Bigger. God is calling us to be known. Not just because we keep the Sabbath, which I believe is very important. Not just because we're vegetarian or we have a healthy lifestyle, which I believe is important. But does the world know us because of our service to others? Especially to those who are less fortunate. To those who have no idea what in the world is going on. Are we serving in the same manner that Jesus came to serve you and me? And this is a question that I'm asking not just as a church. I want to ask it as individuals. Who are we serving? If we think about it truly. God, who am I serving? Am I serving myself? Am I doing the things that I'm doing because I want recognition, I want prestige, I want popularity, I want people to say, great job? Or am I doing this as servants and slaves do without any recognition, without any type of reward? per se here on planet Earth? Am I serving self? Am I serving others who I want something from? And the disciples had to grasp this concept. And I want to believe, brothers and sisters, that they understood this concept. And this is why Paul could say in Romans chapter 1, I am a bondservant of Jesus. And proud to be a bondservant. Yes, Paul had a PhD and probably had a JD from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. He had a title of Pharisee. And he called all that what? Rubbish. He said, I am a bondservant. And as a bondservant, I want to be obedient to my master Jesus. Amen? I want to do what he's calling me to do. I want to stop living for this world or for others. I want to reflect Jesus. Who the text tells us there at the end, Matthew chapter 20. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Is that a powerful, powerful message, brothers and sisters? Do you think our world can know us or will know us because of the way we serve one another? Because of the way we serve God. We say, God, what is it that you want me to do? I want to be obedient. I want to be obedient in the little things. I want to be obedient in the big things. Whatever you are calling me to do, whomever you are calling me to serve, that be my neighbor, if that be my coworker, if that be my family member, whoever that is that you put in my sphere of influence, show me what is it that I can do to serve. I'll share something that sometimes we don't get to see, church. And I think there's a lot that we could still do here at Fallbrook. Amen? We've got room to grow. But I want to just share this email I got 9 months ago from a person I don't know. It says, I just wanted to drop you a note to say thank you. You don't know me personally, but I wanted to thank you and your staff for your service, commitment, and love for this community. And I'm thinking Fallbrook. Yes? Somebody from Fallbrook or from Temecula or from somewhere close by. It is making an impact. Your work is bearing fruit. So thank you. Be encouraged. You are making a difference. Keep it up. With gratitude, Erica. And I don't know who Erica is. I truly don't. Somebody here knows. But I believe this is being done because of church members who are serving in our community, amen? And who are doing a service of love, not because of what they will get out of this, not because of any type of recognition, but they are doing it because they want to serve their beautiful master, Jesus. Amen? They want to obey him. They want to live for him. They want to put all the things of this world aside. And by God's grace, be like him. By God's grace, serve like him. And by God's grace, one day, be with him. Amen.